From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. President Donald Trump is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin at a high-level summit in Helsinki, Finland, today. The meeting followed from a four-day trip to the UK, where Trump was dogged by continuous protests from the streets of London to the area around his golf course in Scotland. While in the UK, news broke of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's indictment of 12 Russian citizens over election meddling in the 2016 presidential race. Trump was urged by lawmakers, including Republicans, to raise the issue with Mr. Putin, but Trump demurred. On Monday morning, he and Mr. Putin faced reporters together.
Well, first of all, Mr. President, I'd like to congratulate you on a really great World Cup, one of the best ever. We have a lot of good things to talk about and things to talk about. We have discussions on everything from trade to military to missiles to nuclear to China. We'll be talking a little bit about China, our mutual friend, President Xi. We have great opportunities together as two countries that, frankly, we have not been getting along very well for the last number of years. I've been here not too long, but it's getting close to 2 years. But I think we will end up having an extraordinary relationship, I hope so. I've been saying, and I'm sure you've heard over the years, and as I campaigned, that getting along with Russia is a good thing, not a bad thing. And I really think the world wants to see us get along. We are the two great nuclear powers. We have 90% of the nuclear, and that's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. And I think we hopefully can do something about that, because it's not a positive force, it's a negative force. So we'll be talking about that, among other things.
That's President Donald Trump addressing Russia's Vladimir Putin on Monday in Helsinki. In a separate meeting on the same day, European Union Council President Donald Tusk urged Trump and Putin to preserve the current order. He said, quote, "It is the common duty of Europe and China, America and Russia not to destroy this order, but to improve it, not to start trade wars, which turn into hot conflict so often in our history," end of quote. Trump had started his European trip in Brussels at the annual NATO summit, where he angered American allies before heading to Britain. On Sunday, Trump spoke with CBS Evening News from his golf course in Scotland, where he named the European Union a foe.
Did you discuss Brexit with the Queen?
I did.
What did she say?
She said it's a very, and she's right, it's a very complex problem. I think nobody had any idea how complex that was going to be. That
did
was
she give
be,
any clues?
Everyone thought it was going to be, oh, it's simple, we join or don't join, or let's see what happens. Who would have thought this was going to be so?
That's Donald Trump in an interview with CBS Evening News while he was in Scotland. After a very contentious interview with a tabloid paper last week, where he criticized UK Prime Minister Theresa May about her handling of Brexit negotiations, among other things, Mr. Trump gave another interview, this time to Conservative host Piers Morgan, on Friday aboard Air Force One. That interview is being broadcast today. And during the conversation, Trump admitted that he was surprised by the complexity of the Brexit negotiations.
Well, I think we have a lot of foes. I think the European Union is a foe, what they do to us in trade. Now, you wouldn't think of the European Union, but they're a foe. Russia's a foe in certain respects. China's a foe economically, certainly. They're a foe. But that doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean anything. It means that they're competitors. They want to do well, and we want to do well.
That's President Trump speaking to Piers Morgan. Meanwhile, here in the United States, the aforementioned indictment of 12 Russians by Special Counsel Robert Mueller has ignited a firestorm. On Friday, Mr. Mueller released a detailed indictment of 12 military intelligence officials from Russia and outlined their hacking efforts into the computer servers of the Democratic National Committee and their subsequent efforts to use that information they harvested to influence the outcome of the U.S. presidential race. Here is the Justice Department's Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein announcing the indictments on Friday.
One of those defendants and a 12th Russian military officer are charged with conspiring to infiltrate computers of organizations involved in administering elections, including state boards of election, secretaries of state, and companies that supply software used to administer elections. According to the allegations in the indictment, the defendants worked for two units of the main intelligence directorate of the Russian General Staff, known as the GRU. Units engaged in active cyber operations to interfere in the 2016 presidential election.
That's Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein announcing the indictments of 12 Russian military intelligence officials as part of Special Counsel Mueller's probe. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has recused himself from the investigation. The timing of the indictments was conspicuous, coming just before Trump's meeting with Putin. Mr. Trump has so far refused to raise the issue with Putin, but did tweet twice about how it was President Obama's responsibility to take action on the revelations about election interference. We'll do an in-depth analysis on our show tomorrow about what the indictments say and mean. And later on our show today, we'll hear about an innovative approach to ending the stranglehold of the Electoral College system in U.S. presidential elections. Patrick Rosenstiel with the group National Popular Vote, Inc. will explain how a growing number of states are passing bills to transfer all their votes to the winner of the popular vote, particularly in light of the election of Donald Trump through the Electoral College system after failing to win the popular vote. In Chicago, protests have broken out over the police killing of a 37-year-old African-American man named Harith Augustus. Augustus was a barber on Chicago's South Side, and police released body camera footage on Sunday claiming he was reaching for what officers thought might be a gun in his waistband when he was fatally shot a day earlier. Angry protests filled the streets of the neighborhood where the shooting took place on Saturday.
You could have resolved that a better way.
You come out here and terrorize people?
Why you didn't use your
pigs?
Why you didn't use
your pigs? Black pigs, white pigs, pigs are pigs.
Use your f***ing taser, man. That's what it's designed for.
Later that night, police wielding batons hit back at protesters with violence and arrests.
Come on.
Those are some of the sounds of police clashes with protesters in Chicago over the killing of a black man named Harith Augustus. In Georgia, two female police officers have been placed on leave and are under investigation after video footage from one of their body cameras revealed that they used a coin flip app to decide whether or not to arrest a woman that they pulled over for speeding. Officers Courtney Brown and Christy Wilson of Roswell, which is near Atlanta, pulled over Sarah Webb for driving at least 80 miles an hour less than 3 months ago. The video has only just now surfaced. On Saturday in California, longtime Democratic incumbent Senator Dianne Feinstein was snubbed at the state-level Democratic National Committee meeting after her rival state Senator Kevin De Leon won the DNC's endorsement for this November's election. Because of California's top two rule, Feinstein and De Leon, both Democrats, will face off in November for Feinstein's Senate seat. Ms. Feinstein won many more votes in the California June primary than De Leon, but her rejection by party activists this weekend suggests that the left coast might be ready for someone with stronger progressive credentials. And that does it for today's headlines.